When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to
Tamarindo Podcast,
hosted by me, Brenda Gonzalez, a fitness coach, political nerd, and nonprofit capacity builder.
And me, Delcy Sandoval, a Guatemalan-American licensed therapist and passionate creativity advocate. Together, we're here to uplift our community through powerful conversations with changemakers, creatives, and healers.
Each week on the pod, we talk politics, culture, and personal development. Listeners call Tamarindo the Advocacy and Self-Love Podcast. Vámonos!
Let's start the show.
Hello, Tamarindo amiguis. Hi, Delcy. How are you?
Hi, Brenda. How you doing? I'm doing okay.
I'm really great. And I think we could tell our listeners why we're so great. First, it's raining in Los Angeles. So it's torrential rain. And when it is raining and I'm feeling melancholy and I'm feeling kind of sad, who do you think I listen to?
Let me think. Natalia Lafourcade, maybe?
Yes. So that is our guest today. And we'll talk about her in un momentito. And you'll hear from her in un momentito. But before we do that, Delcy, ¿qué pasa? What's been on your mind?
You know what? I think what's been on my mind lately is too much work. I've been thinking about how you and I were talking about this. I think it's nice to talk about. My parents are on the brink of retirement.
So great.
And this is great. But I've also started to think about how their entire identity has been surrounded by this idea of themselves as workers. So like, who are you when you're not at work? So thinking of how they're going to deal with retirement has then kind of turned the mirror on me to think about like, well, how do I identify and what do I think about myself outside of work? Do you sometimes think about that?
Well, you know this, but maybe our listeners don't know this. I have like 10 jobs. So I don't feel attached to an identity. Like my job is not my identity because I have seven or five, 10 jobs at a time. Yeah. So I think I don't maybe have that attachment to my job. And maybe I could imagine how if you work in a certain field for so long, I mean, both my parents worked actually at the same agency for over 20 years, how you might feel like your identity being lost somehow when you retire. What I worry about in my old age is who's going to take care of me when I don't have any children and I'm going to outlive my dog. So it's just more existential dread.
You know, I think there's the community is going to be there.
I hope so. Tamarindo listeners, you are all taking care of me. Well, the cure to dread, though, is beautiful music. So we are not going to delay this interview any further. You are going to listen to Natalia Lafourcade. And maybe we could tell you a little bit about her in case this is your first time hearing about Natalia. Wow. You're in for a treat. But tell the listeners a little bit more about who she is.
Yes, let's talk about Natalia Lafourcade. She is a Mexican singer and songwriter who performs multiple genres, pop, jazz, folk music. And since her debut album, she has been one of the most successful singers in Latin America of all time. She is most recently known for her album, De Todas Las Flores, which we talk about a lot in this interview.
Yes, this is a deep dive interview into this album. Amazing conversation. And Delcy, wow, it was such joy that we were both in the room, I want you all to know, but I was behind the scenes. And it was just such a great experience to meet Natalia. So here is your episode with Natalia.
I want to start off by just, on behalf of Brenda and I, just thanking you for sharing time with Tamarindo. We're so excited to have you here. Natalia, thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And I think we also just want to say massive congratulations on your Grammy nomination, the wins that you've had already, and also just congratulations and thank you for such a beautiful and profound album. With De Todas Las Flores. We really love it.
Thank you.
I'd like to start my questions with asking about that because this is kind of a unique journey. It had been 7 years since you'd created an original album. Mm-hmm. What is it for you, Natalia, that says, all right, I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready to start the creative process again.
I think it came with a feeling that I have very, very strong in my body. You know, my body was telling me, like, you need to go back to record your own music. Because I was going through a very, through a broken moment. That's why I say, like, this album comes from a broken moment. Because it was many different things that were happening in my personal life. And then I wasn't able to really pay attention to those things. And then there was a moment in the pandemic that I was like, finally, silence, right? Like, finally, you stop. And there was it, like the feeling, you know, I was like, I feel like something is not good inside. And then I took the time to really pay attention, to listen. And that gave me the answer. And the answer was like, I need you to go back to the studio and to record your own thing. Like, what you have to say, like, there was something inside me saying, like, please go back to the studio, go back to your own songs, to the music. And I was doing that, but it wasn't my personal thing, you know. So that was very important. And I was able to feel it in my body, literally. Like, I was like, wow, I feel like something in my chest and something is not in the right place. So I need to go back to that illusion of doing and making music again.
Yeah, I love that you're describing that kind of heaviness that so many artists describe and needing to kind of release those expressions, right?
Yeah.
Because the album is really interesting in the variety of themes. Right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about nature. We talk about loss, grief, your personal experience. Maybe you can speak to what were those inspirations and those moments that led to these varied themes?
I think the inspiration started coming since I was going emotionally through a hard moment, heartbroken moment. But then it become more like the healing part of myself that I found beautiful in the journey, in the life journey that we all have. It's so beautiful whenever you get to, I was telling this to a friend that just broke up with her couple, and she was so sad. I was saying, like, it's just the start moment of a new era of you, yourself, your entire self, like, being. It's going to be so beautiful for you. Like, you're going to learn so many things through this broken moment. And I think that for me, the inspiration was that process to going back to my, that's why I use the metaphor of the inner garden. Like, I call it like that because it felt like that. Like, oh, I'm going back to my own time, space, and this person that I am, and trying to reinvent this, you know, trying to search and see what is new and what is now there for me and what I want to build from this new moment and cycle in my life. And the songs were like those beautiful messages coming from places that I didn't know. Like, sometimes I felt just like I had the inspiration to write things that I didn't understand very well at the moment. But months later, I was like, wow, the song is actually telling me, like, be present, like enjoy this moment, to be there, to I don't know, like, there's so many messages that are in the album that for me it makes a lot of sense now. I see how much personal this is, and that it's going to help me in the future. I am pretty sure.
Yeah, I really love that you talk about kind of it as a journey, right? Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear a little more about that, a glimpse into your creative process. When you decided, okay, it's time for the album. How do you start to find the songs? How do you start to gather the materials and decide what's going to make it?
Mm-hmm. First, I made the connection, you know, because I was so busy and doing so many things that I didn't realize how much I needed to go back to my own music. And then it was that, first was that, like, okay, I need to pay attention to this. And then I was like, do I have music? Do I have any song? And then I was panicked because I thought I had nothing. Then I went to my cellular phone and I was searching for ideas or songs. I thought I had nothing. And then I found that Vine Solita, I came along, and then De Todas las Flores, Of All the Flowers. I was able to listen to those songs and I was like, oh, there's something here. And then I found more songs there. And I was able to perceive the mood and the vibe of the album. I started writing the names of the ideas, the songs, and to say, okay, I need to paint a map or something, so I know where I want to take the album to. I don't want it to be all sad songs. I don't want it to be all broken moments. No, I want more, you know, like, what's next? How do I? So I don't know, like, everything started to build itself, and also, like, by me searching and asking the music to tell me what to do. And yeah, so 1 year later, 1.5 year later, I was able to go into the studio with Adam Jodorowsky. But it took 1 year, very slow. At the same time, I was doing all the projects, but it was like, okay, I'm gonna move step by step, and then I will know when is the right time. And then we went to the studio, and it was the moment to bring the music and the arrangements and the rest. See?
Yes, I love that you mentioned Adam Jodorowsky. I'd like to speak a little more about that, because one thing that's really unique about your career is that it really has been characterized by these beautiful collaborations with other artists. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about some of those collaborations in this album and recently, and what did they bring to the table?
I think many of the collaborations and, yeah, the composers that I have searched and learned to sing, to play on the guitar, or have been very important for me, you know, to make my universe to give it something new, and to learn at the same time of doing things, you know. At the same time, I was recording Musas and this music that Chabela Vargas was singing, or Violeta Parra's music, or those tunes, let's say. I was learning, and I was grabbing something from that for my own way of creating music. So I think that was very important to make it richer, my own universe and my approach, my personal approach.
I think that kind of leads me to talking about the approach overall, right? Let's mm-hmm. talk about the production mm-hmm. because this was an album that was recorded entirely analog, mm-hmm. in analog, mm-hmm. and has kind of an old world vibe to it. There's something mm-hmm. really special there. How did mm-hmm. that kind of production idea contribute to the overall sound?
I think the way we did it, it has a lot to do with what I was, curious. You know, I was curious about doing a totally analog tape album on the tape machine. You know, this is something I never tried before, but I was saying many times, I want to do this. It's not so easy. It's more like handmade, come on, no sé cómo, you need to take the time, and then you only have a 20 minutes tape, so like you have maybe four times to of the track, and then we only had 24 channels to put the instruments, so we're really like you become in a way. I don't know. I mean, it's the first time I've done it and I'm going to do more. Like I need to explore that way. But for us with this album, it was like, okay, we have these channels and when we were making certain decisions and it's like you're picking the right ingredients to have that chemistry inside the room, inside the people that are playing the instruments. You know? And the other thing is that I had great musicians with me. You know, I had Mark Ribot, Cyril Latef, Emiliano Durantes, Sebastian Steinberg, Adan. I have Jerry, my engineer. Like, they're such great people. Like, I wasn't worried about any mistake that anybody will make. It was beautiful. It sounded beautiful for me. It was like, everything sounds perfect. Then it was more about finding the right thing to do for the songs and for what the music was asking and where the meaning of the song was there, you know, which I found it that's hard because sometimes you get so excited. You want to put so many things and the song is like, no, don't even touch any note or any chord. Just leave it like that. Don't do anything else. So it's beautiful. It's very, very interesting thing. And I really like to experience that way.
Natalia, this album and in general, your music is so incredibly personal and intimate. What has it been like for you to share all of these personal emotions and moments with a massive audience?
For me, it's beautiful. It's beautiful to share. I mean, I love doing it. I am very passionate about doing what I do. And I found it so beautiful, like, to be able to live. And it's like a photograph that you take of a period of your life, right? And then it's like a diary, like a music diary for me. And then I can share that with others. But with this album, it was so personal that I was so, como, this is como, super paralyzed, like, what is going to happen with this one? Because, I mean, the music is so personal as well. It's not just the lyrics, like, everything is so much what I wanted and so much me and also the people I work with. But maybe it's too slow and it's totally the opposite that in the music industry is happening right now. Like, you don't get to listen so slow, a mood of a song and an arrangement, and then you have long introduction with just piano and or guitar, those kind of things. For me, it was very much the kind of music that I like to listen, but it's not precisely the commercial thing or the thing that will go to the radio or stuff like that. So I was... the day I finished the album in Sonic Ranch, I was like really scared about what was gonna happen. But then I was like, well, okay, if nothing happens, that's fine because I love it. Like it gives me chills, and it's my story. So maybe it doesn't matter. Like, I will try. And then so many months came later before I went on the stage and I was playing the music, you know, and I was doing different things, a podcast, we actually played the album in Carnegie Hall. That was beautiful. But then months, and then the tour. And I don't know, I was very, how would you say, como not so attached to the respond. I was more like, okay, this is what I got. And the album is telling me to give it in this way. The album was telling me many different moments, like, you need to calm down, you need to sit down, you need to observe, you need to be present and just to sing this and trust, and it'll be fine. So I was just being respectful to the spirit of this music, and yeah, just to give it trust and see what was going to be that connection to others.
That's beautiful, Natalia. Thank you so much for sharing space with us. And we're back. Wasn't that an exceptional interview? I have to say, Natalia is so warm and so open, and it was just so cool. And I want to just give a massive shout out. What you don't see in this interview is the production that's happening behind the scenes. And Brenda, you were the producer that day. My mind was blown the way you handled last minute issues that happened. And
it was fun to try. And also the great team, right? Natalia's team, all women that we interacted with on site. So matraca to all the women involved in this interview.
Yes. Let's start there. Why don't we talk about what your matracas are? So let's talk more about that. What was that experience like?
I think, well, obviously that experience was a wonderful matraca, but if we're thinking about our matracas for the week,
yes,
I want to give a shout out to just the special places that I get to work at. I mentioned that I work at several places, but two of those places are gyms, and they're just such special places. So one is called the Heartbeat House, and they have, it's like a no competitive dance studio. So there's a lot of great classes there, tend to be centered around dance, but I teach a high intensity interval training class. And it's just so much fun. And I know I've mentioned it on this podcast before, but here's your invitation to all the listeners, because I teach a class that is both in person, but also via Zoom live stream. And I have a good mix of virtual students. So if anybody wants to take my class, typically it is on Mondays at 8:30 Pacific time and on Thursdays at 7 a.m. at the Heartbeat House. But the other really special place that I get to work at is called Everybody. And this is a radically inclusive gym. It is founded by trans people. It is just a wonderful space as well. And this one, I don't teach virtual. This one's in person. And that is another great place. So if you are local to Los Angeles, I hope to see you at Everybody. Both of these gyms are really special to me. And so I want to give them my matraca. And I want to know, what gets your matraca?
Okay, so this week, what gets my matraca is anybody who's working in local radio, community radio, public access. I was able to be interviewed on this show called Chicana in the City.
What a great name.
Which is such a cool name. And it's like this local radio station vibe, and everybody there is just basically volunteering their time to create all of these amazing shows that are free to the public, and they all around centered around empowerment and pride. And so I just want to say, you know, matraca to anybody out there that's doing the work and putting in the hours, completely free to the public.
Love it, love it. Matraca worthy mention. Absolutely. Okay, what goes in la basura? What are you done with this week?
What goes in la basura for me is, I want to say, dealing with pain and kind of working through pain. This week, I've had a lot of physical challenges with my body, and I've still had to handle business. I've still had to do what I needed to do. And working through pain and getting older and having your body change. I just want to say basura this week for me.
Basura to that. Oh my gosh. Yes, definitely. In the same spirit, it's a basura that I needed, like, find the strength to really put in la basura. But every time that I go to bed, I just start to recognize new lines in my face, you know, like new lines in my, on the creases of my eyes and my lips, and all of the algorithms seem to know that I'm 40, because all I get, it's like content that I follow. And then like seven ads for skincare. And so I want to maybe put in la basura, even occupying, like having that occupy space in my mind to be like, oh, I'm wrinkly. So I know you all can identify with it, and I don't have the solution. I think together we could just hold space and recognize, yeah, our body is changing and it's just part of the process.
Yeah, and todas estamos lindas. Yay! Todas estamos lindas.
Todas estamos lindas.
Okay, let's talk about conexión, inspiración. What is it this week that's making you feel connected, bonded?
Well, obviously we had a fantastic inspirational guest. So Natalia it rises to the top on that list. But I'm also really excited. So in a week, we're going to be, you and I, Delcy, we're going to be in Mexico City. We are going to hang out in Mexico City. As you might know, we're part of the Sonoro Network. We're going to hang out with some of the folks at Sonoro Podcast Network. And then we're going to kick off our first ever retreat. We're so excited. We were able to squeeze in one last straggler onto the trip. So all together, including us, is 15 women getting together for conexión, for inspiración, for creativity. It's going to be such a magical time. And you all are going to hear us debrief about it in a couple of episodes, but I'm just really feeling energized about that. And I want to know, what is your inspiración?
Yes. So aside from the retreat, because I am so excited about that, I do want to talk a little more about Natalia for a moment, because I prepped a lot for this interview. And one of the things I did is I listened to a podcast that is the Todas las Flores podcast, and produced by Sonoro.
Shout out.
It is exceptional. It is one episode per song, and it was so beautifully done. As a podcaster, I know you can appreciate when so much production goes into a podcast. It was absolutely gorgeous, and it made me want to be more creative in this kind of space. And let's do it, Brenda.
All right. Album releases in a couple of seasons. Well, with that, this has been a super, super fun episode. Thank you all, listeners. We're getting a lot of new listeners, and Adelcy is on board. So welcome. We're so glad to have you. And please follow us on all the social media. Give this episode a little bit of love. You can write us a positive Apple Podcast review. If you have feedback, please don't do that in the form of a review. You can please reach out to us at contact@tamarindopodcast.com. We're always happy to work with you. We're open to collaborations and partnerships and ideas. So we hope to hear from you very, very soon. And with that, ponte un suéter.
Y saludos a la familia.
Ciao.
Tamarindo Podcast is Brenda Gonzalez and Delcy Sandoval. We are also the show's executive producers. Karina Rivarol of Sonoro Media provides production support. Jeff Ricards wrote our theme song. The best way to support our work is to rate and review Tamarindo Podcast or share an episode with a friend. Get in touch with us at tamarindopodcast.com.
Cuando mi arrendador dijo que el alquiler podría ser más barato si fuéramos amigos con beneficios. Había oído hablar de acoso sexual en el lugar de trabajo, pero en mi casa, eso es discriminación en la vivienda basada en el sexo.
La gente de Bienes Raíces dijo que estaríamos más cómodos viviendo en un vecindario diferente con gente como nosotros. Por suerte, conocíamos nuestros derechos. Es ilegal asustar a los posibles propietarios para que se alejen de ciertos vecindarios en función de raza o nacionalidad.
Si usted cree que sufrió discriminación o tiene preguntas sobre sus derechos, comuníquese con Fair Housing Foundation, Fundación de Vivienda Justa, al 800-446-3247 o también en línea en fhfca.org. La vivienda justa es su derecho. Este es un anuncio de servicio público de Fair Housing Foundation y respaldado por el Departamento de Vivienda y Desarrollo Urbano HUD bajo la subvención de FIPPI, FPEI, 220099.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.